Practice Squad. I'm your host, David Schmidt, here with Craig Garman. Garman, what's happening?
Not much. Good to be back.
Yeah. How was your vacation?
Good. Good.
All rested, ready to go.
Ready to roll.
Ready to talk hot sports for an hour.
I got two weeks of Bengals in.
Oh, there you go.
In 1 week.
So you got some takes.
I got some takes.
And Philly Metzger, what's up, Philly?
Good. How's everybody doing?
Hey, Jordan, not with us tonight. He's on a little break. Probably still on his hangover from that loss.
He's probably still crying.
Crying or, him, I don't know, him, curled up in a ball.
Him and Pork might be in the backseat while Jack drives him home, both sovereign.
But he's going to call in here in a little bit and give us all his take of what went down. Follow along at FR Practice Squad on Twitter or call us 419-516-0702. We'll be right back.
Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Vores, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Vores Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Vores Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
What's for lunch? Wayne Street Market in downtown Fort Recovery is introducing to you Wayne Cafe. It's a new hotspot for lunch. Stop in or follow us on Facebook to see what's on the menu each day. We will always have our fried chicken, our hot soup bar, and our fresh salad bar, but we are bringing a whole new level to your lunch hour starting in March. We also will have in-house seating available so you don't have to rush around during your break. As always, thanks for choosing Wayne Street Market, downtown Fort Recovery, as your lunch destination.
Feeling hungry but don't want to make it yourself? Just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 and they'll make it for you. They're now open every day. Whether it's their pizza, wings, salads, subs, or other sandwiches that you want, just let them do the work. And you don't want to miss their Friday lunch buffet with their famous pizza, wings, and salad bar from 11 to 1. Their Queen of Hearts drawing will be every Saturday afternoon at 3:30, so be sure to get out there and get your tickets for your chance to win. And now's the time to get your lanes reserved for birthday parties and other events. That's Miracle Lanes. Call them at 375-4274. Recovery Boys basketball team is sponsoring a night at the races on Saturday, November 24th at the Legion. It's $20 to get into the event, and it'll be a fun-filled night with 12 horse races throughout the evening. Doors open at 6, with the first race at 7. There'll be food and drinks available, you can bet on the races, and you can actually own a horse for only $20, and you get to name your horse, or buy several horses. You can get the forms for buying a horse from any of the boys' high school players, or from Kate Judy, Teresa Leonards, or Gail Judy. Be sure to return your purchase forms in plenty of time before the horses are all sold. So come up with some clever horse names and buy your horses now before they're all gone. Name them after your kids. Name them after your favorite vacation place. Give them names with clever puns. Just keep it clean. Make your plans now to join the party. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it'll help out our boys' basketball team. The night at the races, Saturday evening, November 24th at the Legion.
Sounds of DJ Fresh Kid playing us in. We got Jordan Stalger on the line, and he's going to kind of take us through what all went down on his trip to New Orleans. But first, we have his week two sonnet.
Yeah, so let me know when you guys are ready.
Yep, we are.
So, you ready? I'm on the air.
Hit it, Jordan.
You are.
You're ready.
Your beautiful music is on too.
So, sonnet week two, all right. A lot's happened. Okay, carry on. The peasants start to whisper, and eventually I checked Twitter. Gordon is hurt. No, wait, something far more bitter. He's gone like that in a flash. How ironic. No one knows why. but it could be the chronic. We head into halftime, up 6-3. At least you have a kicker you can count on, a fan says to me. Our defense played well, especially Sir Ogunjobi. Breeze and Thomas are a force, Obi-Wan Kenobi. 4th and 5 to go. I think there is no way. What's he doing throwing deep? Then swoops in Callaway. The game is within reach. It's right there. Let's go, Zane. 4 kicks with a distance, but clearly not thy aim. Thank God we play on Thursday this week. If we don't win this one, I'm afraid the future is bleak.
Oh, wow.
There we go.
All right. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Well done.
Yeah.
Thanks. Week 2 Sonnet. I think it topped week 1.
Really?
Well, I don't know. It was
first
really good.
First week was better, I think.
No, yeah.
It's
yeah.
still good.
It was mixed,
good.
Mixed reviews, but...
all right, that's all right.
Well, thanks for taking some time out of your busy night to join us. What...
yeah, no problem.
What... Tell us how it all went down. First off, I want to start with this. We, from our Twitter account, we tweeted a picture of you and Miles Garrett.
Yes.
So
break that now.
I want to know how you met him and how drunk you were when you met him and how much you annoyed him.
I was pretty sober. I was okay. I would say pretty sober. I looked kind of drunk, but I wasn't that drunk.
It's your
so.
Look.
We watched the Buckeye game at the casino. New Orleans has a casino, so
that sounds fun.
We spent the night at the casino. I didn't do so well, and I didn't want to go back to the ATM. So I was like, okay, I'm just gonna walk down Canal Street, which is not like Bourbon; it's kind of perpendicular to Bourbon.
Okay,
lots of shops and restaurants and hotels. Not like a big party scene, but a lot's going on.
Just where you like the little cute shops and fun stuff, right?
Well, you know, I wanted to go pick up a souvenir for my kids and you know, yada yada yada. So and then also maybe get a tattoo, but that didn't happen. So I walk around and eventually kind of like make a big loop. I walk like 2 miles and I make a big loop, and I'm kind of close to Bourbon Street, and I see what I'm pretty sure is Todd Haley.
Okay.
And I was like, that's Todd Haley. And I yelled, Haley. And he kind of kept walking. And I was like, that was Todd Haley. and not like 100 yards later, I see Rashard Higgins. And I was like, that's Higgins. And I said, Higgins. He's like, what's up, man?
You're one of 100 people that can spot Rashard Higgins on the street.
Exactly. I know.
Yeah.
I said, Higgins, he's like, what's up? He's with a really good-looking girl and like 2 other guys who could be teammates, but I don't recognize them. I just recognize Higgins. And he's like, what's up, man? Shook my hand. I said, good luck. He's like, thanks, bro.
Oh,
and
nice.
I was like, okay, that's Higgins. I was like, that for sure was Todd Haley.
Yeah.
And I was like, I bet their hotel is somewhere around here. Because it was like probably like 10:30 or 11. So I was like, maybe their curfew's coming up or maybe they don't care about the curfew. So I kind of like walk around a little bit, and then I get back on Canal Street, which is again like one of the most popular streets. And like from a mile away, I see like this huge dude and like 3 guys like running towards him. I was like, I bet that's somebody.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh wait, that's Miles Garrett. And so he's like walking towards me. I'm walking towards him. He's not with anybody. He's just like this huge dude who like has a head that goes straight to his like shoulders. There's arms. He has like no neck.
Yep.
He's like 6'7". So like they took like there's probably like 5 or 6 people taking a picture with him. I was like, okay, well, no one's gonna believe me if I don't get a picture.
Yeah. So how did you ask?
I got a picture.
Did you ask awkwardly or did you just go, hey, can I get a picture?
No, straight awkward.
Okay. Yeah. That's not
like
the only way.
I felt like he didn't want to, and you know, he had that personality anyway.
Yeah.
He kind of didn't want to be bothered, but
he had a Dragon Ball Z shirt on too. So.
Yeah. Did you guys talk about anime or anything like that?
Yeah. Poetry.
No, nope. I said good luck. I called him bro, which it flipped out.
Yeah.
I don't know if he liked that or not, but.
Yeah. Is that one of those things where right when you walked away where you're like, I shouldn't have said bro?
Yeah. But like he shook my hand and his hand was huge. And at that point, I was like, all right, well, maybe I should just go back to the room.
Well, so
like,
at that point.
I walked around a little bit and then I was like, maybe Baker Mayfield's out. He's probably in the room studying.
Yeah, probably.
That was the last. But I would guarantee there was a lot of African Americans walking around with like to go chicken.
Okay.
And, like going to hotels and it looked like athletes. I just couldn't recognize any of them.
Okay.
Was it Popeyes?
So, No, it was like down there was like Willie's. There's a lot of Popeyes, but
I was gonna say it's Louisiana.
Well, it's all good stuff. Yeah. So at this point, you're feeling good. You probably have like, oh, this is a good omen. I met one of my favorite players before the game. Take us through game.
So then, you know, I thought there was, you know, no way Sunday would bring any shame to me.
Yeah.
After that, so first of all, New Orleans Stadium. So the Mercedes-Benz Superdome.
Yeah.
A sweet place to watch a game. I would recommend it. It was nice for, and it's really hot down there. So I think that's why they have a dome, because nobody would want to sit in the heat in August or September down there. But fans were like probably the best fans. They were all like nice. I want to talk to you and like help you out, and super cool. Everyone we sat by was cool besides the one dude who like on one of the penalties was like complaining to me like he wanted me to change it. That wasn't a pass interference. But okay. I mean, I don't
know what to do. You want me to go down there and talk to the guy?
Yeah, they're but they're all cool and a really cool place to watch the game.
Well.
Yeah. So and in the game was kind of slow at first. We were at halftime and like we looked on the scoreboard and like every other game was like 5 to 10 minutes to go in the second quarter.
Yeah, it was quick. I remember it was fast, and I remember watching the first half, and it felt like you guys just handed the ball to Carlos Hyde 40 times.
Yeah, our offense was, like, stagnant. We tried to run it. We did the same thing last week.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're, like, protecting Tyrod Taylor, but whenever we do decide to open it up, we move the ball a lot better.
Yeah, I noticed that as well. As soon as he started throwing, it was, like, chunks of yardage.
Yeah, so...
Well, start at 12... I guess after the touchdown, I think to Hyde, you guys went up 12-3, and Zane came in for a field goal. So start it right there.
Yeah. So then he missed it. And like we had good seats. They were like on the goal line, on the Brown sideline. But like from the field goals, you couldn't really tell if they were going in or out. You just had like the fan reaction.
Yeah.
So like when he would kick it, they all screamed, which when the crowd goes wild, that's kind of bad for us.
Yeah.
So they screamed, and then he missed it. We're like, okay, that's going to come to bite us in the butt. And then I think we might have stopped him the next time. I think we stopped him the next time down, and like, okay, that's good. And then even we went back down to take a field goal because, okay, this will make up for the next extra point. We'll go up 15-3 at that point.
Yeah.
I think that was right. Then he missed that one. I was like, okay, well, this is playing out. I think every Browns fan had that exact same feeling of like, okay, we know where this is going.
There was the immediate reaction on Twitter of everybody, like all the Browns fans on my Twitter were like, we've seen this before. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Michael
like
Thomas.
16-3 game.
Michael Thomas is really good. Michael Thomas.
He's good.
Is like, I don't know if he catches the ball over 20 yards, but he has like 15 catches a game.
He's a man. Like he beat Denzel.
He's got 28 catches.
Yeah.
He has the record for the most catches in 2 weeks. So.
Wow. Anyway, so he's missing field goals. You're depressed. And then go from there.
And then, you know, they like score. So they, you know, they score down and they get a touchdown from Thomas. And then it's 10-12, I think, at that point.
Yeah.
Right, and then they go down, and I don't know the scoring, what all happens. But anyway, when they, what happens here? How do they tie it up? Was it 12-12?
No, I don't remember either. I think they went up 13-12, but yeah, that's.
Oh no, yeah, no, they went up. It was 10-12, and then we threw an interception.
Yeah, Tyrod's guy. He held it. Then he threw it. Then they picked it off.
Yeah, just a bad pass, a bad play action. I think there's only one read, and he just decided to throw it.
Yep.
So at that point, they drove it, and that was like the Michael Thomas, second Michael Thomas touchdown over Denzel Ward.
Yeah.
And that put it at, what was that, 18
for,
to...
They went for two, didn't they?
They went for two and got it.
Yeah, so 18-12.
Yeah. And that was with like... How much time left?
Yeah, you had like 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Yeah. I think there's like 1:45.
I didn't think there's any way they were going to go down the field like they did.
There was zero way. I had zero hope. Well, I had hope, but I wasn't very confident.
How?
And it was 4th and 5.
How high did you jump when Callaway caught it?
Well, it was weird. Like, that was on the far end. So I thought they would do some weird crossing route or that plant and then probably didn't complete it. But he threw it deep, and like at that point I couldn't even see. I thought he overthrew, I think it might have been Landry.
Yeah.
Who was below
Landry
Callaway.
And Callaway were like running parallel to each other.
And then so I thought he overthrew him, and then I had to like look up at the screen to like see a good angle, and then like Callaway, like just from, it seemed like out of nowhere, like caught it. And then everybody was quiet, and you know, like the 5% Browns fans were going nuts. But we all had that feeling of, okay, we just tied it. And I think there's like a minute 15 left. I think that's a lot of time for Drew Brees. Let's at least make this extra point and then, you know, make him kick a field goal. Because our defense was playing pretty good for most of the game.
The Browns defense is for real.
Yeah, they are pretty solid.
Like the Saints in their home, like they struggled to score. And then who'd they play week one?
The Saints?
The Browns.
Steelers.
Yeah, so and that was a close game. And the weather, now that I remember, the weather was difficult
probably
that game.
Factor.
But still, yeah. Their defense is going to keep them in games. I believe I texted you that before.
So after you tied it up, did you think like right away, like Drew Brees is just going to go down there, they're going to kick a field goal? Or did you actually think this is going overtime? Do we have it, you know?
Well, you mean after he missed it? Because I assumed, stupid me, for thinking he would make the extra point, even though he missed, you know, a field goal and extra point prior.
Yeah, like, you're like, this is
luck. No, there's no way this is great. Yeah, there's no way. And he does, and just like the Saints go crazy. And that place gets, that's the loudest like I've ever been in a stadium, and probably part of the dome. But that place goes nuts. And just like every Browns fan has their heads in their hands and like, okay, here we go again. Probably another overtime, or if not, you know, they're going to win with that field goal. And they have, like, three big plays. They get down within, like, the 20, 25-yard line.
Well, the one that killed you was Ted Ginn Jr. was wide open.
The Ted Ginn.
Yeah,
he had, like,
right in the middle of the field. And
yeah. I know what killed this story.
Well, I feel for you, man.
I don't really.
So,
at all.
I mean, yeah, and then we so,
I was actually hoping
again,
for another
time. We had, like, 35 seconds to like go down and get within range. We have two good plays. I think we have a 52-yard field goal. And, you know, I mean, there's still a little bit of hope left, but I think at that point we knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And it did happen. And then from there, it was just like, you know, the rest of history. I think we kind of knew that was Zane Gonzalez's last game. And like this injury thing.
Yeah. What
like,
you take
I
on
was
that?
Watching him warm up. Like he was warming up right in front of us. And like, you know, they have like a little side thing on the sideline that they can kick balls into.
Sources.
He was like all happy go lucky.
So the groin looked good. But have you?
Yeah,
you guys haven't released him yet, have you?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah,
we did. Okay. Greg right. Joshua.
Yeah, some guy's going to miss kicks for you.
And he made two field goals prior, so like his leg was fine. He had the distance on all of them.
Yeah.
He was just bad.
Well, that's a bummer.
So I don't feel bad for him.
No, but. I mean, Zane Gonzalez wasn't the only one that, you know, missed a lot of kicks.
Right. Yeah, this whole week there was
a Minnesota's kicker that should have won the game for him.
And Carlson.
Yeah. So you're telling me as a former kicker, you don't feel bad for Zane Gonzalez?
Oh, no. So I actually had a story. So I was going to be part of my honor too. So I have a unique perspective and experience as missing multiple kicks in a game, both being extra points. So
do you feel like you let the team down when you do that?
Well, when we're already down like 12 to 35 or like 12 to 62, you don't have that much pressure. But, you know, it's like, you know, I only get in three plays a game, so you got to make the most of them.
Salt
but,
the wound.
Yeah, it's not a good feeling. I mean, I think I'm sure everybody knows, you know, he has one job to do. He just happens to be very bad at it.
I think at that point, too, he has to look extra sad, and he did a good job of it.
Oh, he looked really, really sad.
He looked like he was, well, the one shot was just him chewing his nails. I was like, yeah, okay, that's a good nervous look.
No, and like, you know, like, usually like
that's
to
true.
See
nervous,
like though. Teammates like console him like after the first kick, and there was some of that because I would see, you know, like players in the linemen like, hey, it's okay, go get him next time.
Yeah.
But when you miss four kicks and pretty much, I don't like to say, you know, the game doesn't come down to kicking, but when you miss four kicks, no player touched him. He, like, no player wanted anything to do with him.
Yeah.
They all just ran to the locker room.
Yeah. The Browns,
I think Will Lutz was the only one that, like, consoled him.
The Browns could easily be 2-0 right now, and I'm sorry I'm saying that, but they really... I mean, if one play goes their way either game, they're probably 2-0. Instead, they're 0-1. But that's not, they're like 0-2 at least.
Well,
I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, like, are you one of those guys who are, because when I was watching on TV, everyone's like, well, why not bring in Baker?
Yeah.
Are you on that train yet?
Baker had, not yet. It depends how he, I'd give him pass. Like, unless he, like, absolutely bombs and we lose the game because Tyrod on Thursday.
Yeah.
I don't think
you can't really, well, obviously, you can't blame the game, the last week two's game on Tyrod. Now, the first one, some people will want to blame it on him, but, like, I don't know, I feel like he hasn't really underperformed to where you can, like.
Well, and I don't think, I mean, with the first half, our play calling has been pretty conservative, so it's not like.
Yeah.
I mean, there are still some throws he left on the field, but Baker did have his helmet on, like.
The entire game.
Close to halftime. He took it off in the fourth quarter, but I was like, okay, I wonder if he's just ready to get in. But I think his leash is still longer than what we think it is. So there's too much pressure on this Thursday night game that they don't need it. And I just have a feeling now that Sam Darnold's going to play out of his mind.
Yeah, they're at home and they're 3.5-point favorites. Yeah, what are you feeling about that?
Yeah.
That's one of those games I'm not going to touch at all. I don't like.
I felt good last week with a plus nine for the Browns. I felt good about that. But even like this one, it's shaping up. And people are going to be like, hey, this is the one they're supposed to win. It's up there for the layup. And
that's got trap game written all over
it. That's what everybody thinks, and it never happens.
Yeah, it's so actually the lowest total, too, for the over-unders at 39. So
yeah,
I don't think they're expecting a high-scoring game either. Well, I'm sorry you had your experience, but I'm sure you had fun, right? Didn't you have fun?
It was good. Yeah, New Orleans is fun. Bourbon Street's fun.
And what did you guys do after? Were you in that that thing I saw in Barstool?
Were you guys practicing field goal? Kicks?
No, we kicks didn't see. So, like, we were in the bar, like, diagonal from that, where they were kicking it.
Oh, really?
And, like, afterwards, they were, like, all taking a picture and then making, like, I think they might have did, like, a little chant. And they, like, walked out, and people were taking a picture of them, and they were all, like, grouped together. And, like, I don't know what's happening, but. And they were, like, tossing football up and down the balcony. Like, some people were in the balcony, and they were tossing football. So, you know, afterwards, I think my sister tagged me in a post, and I was like, oh, that's what they did. That's probably why people were taking pictures of them.
Well, so. they look like they could kick a little bit better than Zane Gonzalez, unfortunately.
It was fun, but, and, you know, I can see, or I can at least say now that I saw Zane Gonzalez's last game as a Cleveland Brown, which I always wanted to say.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thanks for joining us, Jordan.
Hey, Jordan, I have a question that somebody texted me to ask you. Did Pork ever end up in jail or anything?
No. We were well behaved. We did not end up in jail.
That's a shame because this guy lost a $50 bet.
Yeah. Did you guys get kicked out of a bar while you were down there?
We did not. It's super hard, I would think.
That's another 25
minutes. Nashville. What's Nashville Street? Like Broadway?
Broadway, second.
It's that, except a lot dirtier.
Like dirtier as in the floors or
I've seen in the people? Snapchat, the streets look
it's
dirty.
Not upkept. Yeah, it's the people there are dirty. You're going to have to do a lot to like get kicked out.
There's like partying there 24/7, like 7 days a week, isn't there? Or?
Yeah. So it's a fun place.
It's open container, right?
Like a mile. Yeah, open container.
Did you just like go into one place like Hannibal and just say, can I get this to go because I don't like this place, so I'm going to go to another place?
Your place that's kind of how it is,
yeah.
You feel weird at first, like getting a drink at a place and then walking into another, but you know, I mean, they know that's the rule, so nobody stops you and can kind of do what you want.
Yeah. We look forward to you coming back next week, but thanks for calling in and letting us know how your journey went. But hey, maybe after Thursday there'll be 1-1-1.
I hope so.
All right. Hey, see you, Jordan.
All right. Have a good show.
Yeah. See you, Jordan. See you, Jordan.
Bye.
All right, we'll be right back. Follow us at FR Practice Squad. Give us a call 419-516-0702. We'll be right back.
I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. First, the company who introduced suspension to the commercial mowing industry has done it again. Introducing the Ferris Soft Ride Stand-On Z2 Mower. With this patent-pending adjustable operator platform and suspension technology, you can now experience the amazing smooth ride and speed that Ferris is famous for. Step up to a new level of comfort and productivity with the Ferris Soft Ride Stand-On Z2. Ferris, experience suspension.
Our story started 80 years ago with a series of handshakes and a belief in a hard day's work. Four generations later, those beliefs and morals still shape who we are. Our word is our bond, our commitment is unwavering, and our family is everything. At Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying, it's our culture. Join our family today and apply online at cooperfarms.com. Cooper Farms. More than work.
This is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern, and I want to invite you to stop in for our delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials. Starting at 11 o'clock Monday through Friday, Brick Street Tavern features Mystery Meal Monday, Meatloaf Tuesday, Roasted Chicken Wednesday, Casserole Thursday, and on Friday you can choose from our soup and salad bar or our famous half-pound hand-patted cheeseburger. We also offer supper specials on Friday and Saturday evening, including steak and all-you-can-eat roasted chicken, both complemented with our large salad bar, choice of potato, and a honey roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern and enjoy some great home cooking.
The Fort Recovery firefighters are having their famous all-you-can-eat breakfast on Sunday morning, October 14th from 8 to noon at the fire hall. Sausage, pancakes, and omelets custom made by your firefighters, all you can eat. All the proceeds will go toward new and updated equipment and building upgrades, and it's a free will donation. Don't miss this great breakfast. Head on down to the fire hall on Sunday morning, October 14th from 8 to noon for the Fort Recovery firefighters' famous omelet, pancake, and sausage breakfast.
Practice Squad. Follow us along at FR Practice Squad on Twitter and call in 419-516-072. But we actually have a caller right now. Pat from Cincinnati. Pat, what's going on?
Hey, fellas. Big fan. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we're happy to have you. Happy you're a fan of the show. What can we do for you?
Hey, I just wanted to pose a hypothetical question to you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
If backup quarterback was a position that could be inducted into the Hall of Fame, would Ryan Fitzpatrick be a first ballot pick? It's like for seven teams in the last 13 years, he's started a game at least with every team, and he's had two epic pressers. You know, remember with
What was the first one?
Doing mental math.
I can't remember that one. I remember one.
After the presser of last night, I'd say yes, he's definitely inducted.
Well,
he called like his 4-year-old up to the press stand and it rattled off all kinds of multiplication questions, which he knocked out of the park.
Well, he's a Harvard grad. He's that smart Harvard grad. He's also got, I think, a Hall of Fame beard. Second behind Garmin, but
I don't know. Fitzy's got a great beard.
One of the best beards. Well, we're going to talk about that now, but I think Fitzy's probably the best. I will say I know the caller, Pat, because I used to live with him in college, and he had a Ryan Fitzpatrick jersey when he played for the Cincinnati Bengals.
That is,
do you still have that, Pat? Or was that you or Doug?
I don't know where it is, but it's probably around somewhere.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate you listening.
You're welcome.
All righty.
See you guys.
See ya.
See ya.
Yeah, that's a good hypothetical there.
I actually thought when I saw that video, I thought it was Conor McGregor.
There were so many comparisons to that.
The beard was a little bit longer and thicker, but watching the video, I thought it was funny.
He kind of has to go down because he's got the most like playing time of any real backup. That's got to be a draft 2.0 or something.
I think so, because in my mind, when I hear backup quarterback, I think of like who, like the long, like the quarterbacks who like never get hurt, like Peyton Manning. Like I think Jim Sorgi was Peyton Manning's backup for like 8 seasons.
He just looked good with the clipboard.
Yeah, but I don't know if he was a good quarterback or not, but he was just there for
him. You have to go with Nick Foles because he won a team in the Super Bowl.
That's true.
That's
true, too.
He would be in there.
Super Bowl MVP, Nick Foles.
So I think Fitzy's number one. Does anybody else have any others? I can't even think.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm putting you on the spot.
Well, as far as guys who's played, like...
He's the best.
But like Philly said, with Foles, I mean...
Foles is up
but
there.
But was that just like a ridiculously hot stretch because this so far, this first two games of the season, he hasn't looked that
Nick
great?
Nick Foles has been on a lot of teams, too, I feel like. Or has he just been on two?
I think he's always been with the Eagles.
No, he left the Eagles one time after he had... I don't know if he was with the Eagles, but he had like a ridiculous... Like, the story got hurt. He did really good. Then he went somewhere else, made a lot of money. And then he came back.
He had that ridiculous like 27 touchdown, two interceptions.
Yes.
But as far as like guys that you can just like throw in, like it's got to be Fitzy.
Yeah, good for Fitzy.
I'm sure there's a lot of older people. I mean, like Kerry Collins could be thrown out there because like there was a couple seasons where like
the end of his career,
he would come in, then he would have a good season, then he'd get shipped away, then he'd do nothing the next season.
Matt Castle, when he was with the Patriots.
Oh, Matt Castle's a good one. There we go.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Pat. That gives us some good good info. But we like the callers. Call us in 419-516-0702 or. Tweet us your questions, anything at FR Practice Squad on Twitter. The Bengals had a game this week. I don't want to toot our own horn, but they're 2-0.
They are.
Undefeated on the season. How long it'll last, we don't know, but we're enjoying it as it goes. So they played the Ravens. Mm-hmm. They were underdogs. They were point underdogs at home.
Every week.
Yeah.
This week.
They're still not getting any love, but. That's still not changing this week. The Carolina, they're 3-point underdog.
I'd rather be the underdog.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's the thing that was so just BS about this coming game is normally they give the, if it's close like that, they give the home team like the 3.5 points.
Yeah, well, especially a 1 point spread. I mean, why not call
that's
the Bengals?
Saying, why not give it to the home team?
They were still underdogs at home. And I don't get the love on the Ravens. And obviously, they destroyed the Bills, but as we're finding out, the Bills are horrible. They're already a... What is that? A 17-point underdog this week, which is like the biggest line I've ever seen in an NFL game. But they're just getting destroyed by 3 touchdowns every game. So I just don't get why everyone thinks the Ravens are this juggernaut. And Joe Flacco is like the most average dude. Mm-hmm. The Bengals defense,
riding that Super Bowl win for a long time.
Yeah, the Bengals defense
got
to him.
That's the only thing he's got to ride.
Jesse Bates had some turn. The defense has turned the ball over this year, which... was a big problem last year, and they brought in Terrell Austin, the defensive coordinator, and from Detroit, and hopefully he can really get them to get more turnovers because that's huge.
Right.
Jesse Bates had a pick. Sean Williams had a fumble, strip sack, and a pick, which you don't love Sean Williams, but he had a decent game.
I don't have a problem with Sean Williams. I just was always an Iloka fan.
Yeah.
The one that stood out for me was Sammy Hubbard.
Yeah.
Hell of a game.
Yeah, he did. And Michael Johnson went out early in the game, giving him more snaps, and he took complete advantage of it.
He definitely filled the shoes.
Yeah.
And, I think Sean Williams can be really good. It's just like that bonehead play he had against Indianapolis.
Yeah.
He got ejected.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know, it's just
so these guys, like, I don't know. It's just like with Vontaze Burfict, these guys are talented, but they're just...
Idiots.
Yeah, stay on the field.
Yeah. I wouldn't put Sean Williams in the category of Vontaze Burfict.
No, but
yeah.
He gets hurt and stuff like that. But he's good.
So tell me your biggest takeaways from the game, your biggest positives. If you can think of some off the top of your head, what did you like to see? What impressed you? And what are you liking to see go forward?
Well, for me, obviously, still sitting on the front of the Dalton train.
First off, did you watch the game on vacation? Did you get to watch it?
I did. I caught the second half. Okay. I didn't catch the second half.
All right. But you probably saw highlights and all that.
Well, yeah. But like, while we were waiting to get back to our room, it was just like AJ Green, like 3 catches, 3 touchdowns. I'm like, all right, this is going good. But I think like their number one corner was out, but it don't matter. Like, it's just.
Yeah. Jimmy Smith.
Yeah. I think that's the takeaway for me.
He destroys the Ravens anyway. Jimmy Smith has never stopped.
He crushes the Ravens.
Yeah.
But my big takeaway, like I said, is Dalton. Like, the line has been good enough to where, like, the statistics show, like, when he has time to throw, and especially, like, with the weapons we have now, because one of the things that I wrote down from this game is, I think this is the best wide receiver core we've had since 15.
Yeah,
I know it's early, but, like, anyone who follows, any Bengals fan who follow, like, Joe Goodberry, when he tweeted about, like, with John Ross doing all the dirty stuff, like...
Clearing
stuff out for, like, Boyd and AJ. It's just, like, that kind of stuff. Like, it's just... It looks good. I know it's early, but I like the way it looks so far.
Yeah. And it's hard not to. I mean, I don't think... We thought we'd be better than what everyone was saying. There was a lot of people saying they'd win 4 games this year.
Halfway there.
They're halfway there. Vegas said they'd win 6. They're a third of the way there. I just think they're going to be a good team. Their schedule's favorable. They have two tough games coming up against the NFC South with the Panthers and the Falcons both on the road. They'll both be underdogs those games. I think, what are they, this week, three-point underdogs?
Three and a half.
So that'll be two and a half. That's a tough call, but especially you never know with Cam Newton. I don't know if I overrate him or not, but you always have to worry about him. But
Cam Newton at home, you know he's going to
score some points.
It's going to be Cam Newton.
So, but yeah, they got off to that hot start. They scored, I think, almost on their first four drives almost. They didn't on their first drive, but after that they hit a stride. But it was kind of like last year too, though, where they got ahead and no lead felt safe. Well, of course, you know me.
No, I know.
They were up 28-14, and the only way the Ravens were moving the ball was pass interference, but I still did not feel confident. I thought, we're going to screw this up, and we almost did until our defense got those turnovers and kind of sealed it.
You said your offense, second half, just kind of
didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And that's what worried me the most about the game, and I'll be the negative guy and do the takeaway negatives. But the second half, they didn't move the ball at all. They got stagnant. The defense kept it up, but the offense really kind of struggled.
Well, that's the key, because I don't think by any means Baltimore is any kind of offensive juggernaut. If we get a lead in the game, is our defense, if we collapse in the second half again, is our defense good enough to maintain a lead?
Well, and that was impressive, too, that they could at least keep the lead. But, and I hated that they went to AJ, a ton in the first half, and then he didn't.
And they go away from him. I don't understand.
And he didn't get a catch till again in the fourth quarter. And finally, when they need him, okay, we got to sustain a drive. They went down and got two field goals to seal it. They got the ball back to him. I don't know why they go away from him, but they seem to do that too. And then, obviously, Joe Mixon is a stud. He had another great game, but then he comes out with an injury. Then he comes back in to finish the game. After the game, says I feel good, and then he goes in for surgery on Saturday, and he's had some kind of bone chip or something
that was loose in his knee, I read, and they just had to remove it, so it's not a huge deal, but he's going to be out for 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's a huge bummer.
It is,
because for you on your fantasy team and for the Bengals,
because I made
so fun to watch.
I made a fairly big trade with Jordan to try and get him because I wanted him, but the thing is with Joe Mixon is this year so far, and I'm a big Giovanni Bernard fan, but so far when it's been Mixon versus Gio, it has been very noticeable which one of those guys is better.
Yep.
So
Mixon can make those runs where there's no gain and then he's just going for 20. And Gio's either you got the hole and you'll get 5 yards or you don't have a hole.
Mixon showed a lot of similarity to a Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
Or the patient
kind of running
style. He will sit in the backfield until he sees a hole. When he hits a hole,
In my opinion, when they have Gio in, with his skill set, I feel like they try and go up to the gut
all the time. Yeah.
I don't understand.
Get him out on the edge.
Yeah.
It'll be fun to watch him have a whole game playing around him. Last year when they played the Bears and he did really well. He had a really good game.
I think he's going to have a really good game. I bet he has probably totals over 100 yards receiving and rushing.
I hope so.
But the question is, who's going to be the guy behind him? I think it'll be Walton?
I think it'll be probably Trey Carson, because I just don't think they like Walton that much. Has he been active?
That I don't know.
I don't know either, but it's going to be Walton or Carson. I wouldn't be surprised if they give the ball to Carson because he has more experience playing on the practice squad and on preseason. Walton's a fresh rookie. They probably might not feel good about giving him the ball, maybe turning it over. Who knows? It'll be fun to see Walton if he comes in because he was a fourth-round pick.
And he's a guy that had potential first-round talent.
Oh, we got a caller. Hotlines are full tonight.
Blown up.
Who do we have?
Hey, this is Doug from Washington, D.C.
We got a caller from D.C. God, we're live.
Yeah, you guys are pretty deep. Nice.
What do we got, Doug?
I got two questions for you. One, Bengals-related question is about Eifert. What do you guys think is happening with Eifert? What, does he have, five catches so far this year?
I think he's got 6 for 43.
He's on your fantasy team, so you know.
Yeah, he's not good in fantasy, Doug. You don't want him in fantasy. He sucks in fantasy.
Yeah,
but the key about Tyler Eifert is he's not hurt yet. He hasn't broken into 1,000 pieces. He's still playing.
That's true. He had that one season where he had like what 12 touchdowns, 13
yes,
touchdowns, yeah, or whatever it was.
Yes, and that's
like
been his.
Like, oh, he's the top 10 fantasy tight end, all because he had like that one season.
Well,
the Josh Gordon effect.
Yeah. But he didn't get high all the time and didn't get to spend it all the time. He's more out, yeah, like
he
hunting.
He's on cereal, though.
Yeah, he's more out like hunting or doing something like that. But yeah, I mean, he had that one season in 05 or 15.
15.
Where he was like catching, I think he had like all of his, if they were in the red zone, they scored a touchdown to Eifert.
Mm-hmm.
And he was big. Yeah, but
it was always like a 6 yard touchdown catch.
Yes, so it was like a back shoulder fade all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, he'd have like 4 catches, 2 touchdowns, and 33 yards.
Yes, and we'd like to see that again. But they're doing a rotation with the backups as well. Like, Uzama's been getting a lot of yards, and so has
Tyler Croft.
So they're just trying to keep him healthy, kind of like feathering him back in, trying not to get him hurt. And it's working so far. He's through 2 games. He's catching the ball. I just want to keep seeing him play because he's a hell of a player when he's healthy.
All right, I got another question.
Go for it.
So the AFC North futures, at the moment, Bengals have what? They have a game and a half lead over the Steelers.
Yes, and they very have early game
over,
and a half
over
lead.
Over the Ravens. Yeah, but the Bengals are, what are they? I guess I'm looking at tied for second in odds.
Okay.
To win the division. Steelers are favored to win the division.
Still the Steelers.
You put money down. Who would you put it on?
Well, I'll tell you, I already put money down on the Bengals at plus 1,000, so I feel really good about that.
Ooh.
But, yeah, thank you. I mean, what you're going to tell you, there's going to be all these fans in here that are just going to say the Steelers are going to win the division. They're not going to win the division.
Well, so my thing, I put money down on the Bengals because Pittsburgh has to go into Tampa and they got to play Fitzy.
Oh, yeah. Fitzy's hot right
hot
now, too.
Right now.
You don't want to play Fitzy, whether it's in Tampa Bay. Are you serious? Just give the game to the Tampa.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which goes against what I'm going to like do for a parlay later. Completely against that. What, I have to say, though, you have the Fitzpatrick jersey, correct?
It's a jersey. And I got it from Kevin George as a Christmas present.
Because everyone knows who Kevin George is on our radio airwaves.
Obviously.
Yeah. Another roommate.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you've been wearing it after you saw his performances the last first 2 weeks.
Very proudly around Washington, D.C. Many compliments.
Do you have any good backup quarterbacks that can rival Fitzy on the top of your head?
Charlie Batch
is really, really good. That's a really good one. There was never a quarterback in the NFL that looked older than Charlie Batch.
Even when he got in the league, he was a rookie. He looked like he'd been around for eight seasons.
He was like, oh, this rookie Charlie Batch, he's 45. Like, unbelievable.
The entire McCown family.
That's good, too.
That's a good one, the McCown family. That sounds like a backwoods family from Tennessee or something. McCown family. Well, thanks for the call, Doug. We appreciate it. I'm sure you're a long-time listener as well, too.
Yeah, long-time listener. First time calling.
All righty. Hey, take it easy, Doug. All righty. Hey, we still got the Draft 5.0 coming up. It is Best Action Heroes tonight.
Ooh.
Oh, man. So everyone be thinking of your Best Action Heroes. We still have Philly's Titan Takes. Follow along, FR Practice Squad, and keep the calls coming. 419-516-0702. We'll be right back.
I'm Kenny Canope from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. What is it about how a well-manicured lawn looks? Well, ask anyone who owns a Simplicity, and they will tell you what it is. Pride. What's the secret? Simplicity tractors have an innovative free-floating mower deck with full-width rollers that follow the contours of your lawn and deliver a precision cut. Not to mention the ability to create eye-catching, ballpark-style striping patterns, sure to get everyone's attention. Take pride in how your lawn will look and visit K&L Tractor to test drive a Simplicity today.
Do you have that one room that is too cold in the winter or too hot in the summer? Need to send air or heat to an addition, basement, or garage, but getting it there seems impossible? Introducing Mitsubishi Multi-Zone Systems, your heating and air solution for one room or independent control of every room. Oh, did I mention Mitsubishi H21 systems are ductless and can be installed almost anywhere, even the ceiling? Get a $500 instant savings discount now at Reasoner Energy. Another problem solved by Reasoner Energy. 419-678-4858.
Choosing the right insurance plan is as important as choosing the right insurance agency. And Fort Recovery Insurance Agency is the right choice for you. We'll bring you inside our fort to protect you and help you recover when you've had a loss. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency will help find the right Ohio Mutual plan for your needs. Start in the right place so you end up in the right place. Where we've got something for everyone. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call us at 888-375-4181.
The Fort Recovery Music Boosters will be hosting their annual all-you-can-eat breakfast on Sunday, October 7th at the Legion from 8:30 to noon. Tickets are available from any band or choir member, or you can get them at the door. The tickets are only $6, and kids under 5 are free, and carryouts will be available. So stop out for breakfast on Sunday morning, October 7th, for the Music Boosters all-you-can-eat breakfast from 8:30 to noon at the Legion.
Titans had another game as well. We can't leave out the Titans, Philly's favorite
team.
Never
can, never can.
We always put them last. We should let them go. We should let them talk first one of these times.
Oh, wow. We'll give them a little bit more. We'll give them more than a minute and a half this week.
2 minutes and 45 seconds, Philly. No. Okay. Take it away. The Titans played. Who'd they play?
They played the Texans. Big divisional game in my eyes.
And I was hoping Deshaun Watson would have a good day.
After watching the first week, I thought it was going to be pretty much a blowout. But it was a hard game to watch offensively. But defense played good, I thought. But, yeah, they came out with a win 20-17. And pretty much it started off. We kicked it off. We held them to 3-and-out. Then we got the ball. Then we moved it a little bit. By the way, Marcus Mariota didn't play.
At all. Why didn't he play?
Give us
your grievance. You're upset with Marcus Mariota.
Yes, I am. But it could be worse than what I'm thinking. It was the hit that he got from one of the defensive ends from Miami last week. It hit him in the elbow, and I'm guessing what the reports I'm saying or hearing is he's got a pinched nerve in his elbow or something, so he can't grip football.
Oh, so that's like why to the fullest.
So that's
I feel
why.
Like it's pretty bad to play quarterback if you can't grip the football.
Yeah, but all the interviews I see him, he practiced. I mean, he's been throwing the ball, and he always says like, "Yeah, it feels good, whatever." And then I don't know. I don't know if he's just beating around the bush or if Marcus wants to play and the coaches are saying, "No, you're going to sit," or whatever. But I had to watch a full game with Blaine Gabbert as our quarterback, so it was hard. But like I said, we started off defense looked good, 3-and-out. We get the ball. I think we get one first down. We move it a little bit. Then we go on a punt. Then we do a fake. And they snap it to our safety, Kevin Byard, and he throws a 66-yard. Well, it wasn't a 60, but it went to 66
yards. I looked on the stat sheet to see how, because I saw the score.
But
and I was like, how'd they get up? And then I saw Byard on the quarterback.
Yeah.
Byard.
So Byard's 1-for-1 for 66 yards to our rookie safety, Dane Cruikshank or whatever.
Cruikshank
from Arizona.
These real familiar guys.
But the thing is like, when I saw it, nobody was on the guy that caught it. So it was just kind of like, what was going on? But, you know, I'm all for it. It was like, hey, it worked. We got a touchdown. I was happy about it, whatever. Yeah. It was like, so we caught them sleeping for a little bit. Then, you know, they get the ball. You know, they get the ball. I think they go 3-and-out or they move it a little bit. Then Blaine Gabbert's second offensive drive looked really good. Like,
he was slinging it.
He wasn't really slinging
looked
it.
Looked like the former first round pick, Blaine Gabbert. Yeah.
Where did he play in college?
Mizzou.
Yeah. That's right.
Behind Chase Daniels.
So, that's right. I mean, like, he was moving the ball. It wasn't really him. I feel like one offensive drive, Derrick Henry was our quarterback for, I think, more snaps than what
Blaine Gabbert was.
Yeah, we did a wildcat. Derrick Henry is actually 1-for-1 with 8 yards passing.
And, so you have Byard and Derrick Henry on the quarterback. And
then here is Blaine Gabbert, our starting quarterback. He was 13-for-20 for 117 and one TD.
Nice.
So, yeah, that was.
Hey, as long as it got the win.
It did. I mean, I was happy we got the win, but like after that second drive, our offense went to sleep until the fourth quarter. Like I think we went 3-and-out. It was just really hard to watch. But like I said, our defense gave up 17 points.
But in the whole game perspective, like, they looked really good. I mean, I liked
you watched the whole game, right?
Yes, I watched the whole game.
Deshaun Watson, did you guys just, like, make him look bad, or how
we actually got some pressure. We got some pressure on him.
Did he run around a lot, or is he just pocket?
He went for
trying to decide if I want to bench him in fantasy.
He went for two big runs, but like they were really easy. Like he just kind of it was like a not a heavy sprint. It was just like a really
just wide open kind of
a really fast jog, if you say, because it was just wide open. He got the first down, went out of bounds. I don't know if it's just him being safe with his knee, trying not to hurt it again, whatever.
I'm sure that's part of it.
But I mean, they still had freaking. There's 200 yard receivers. I mean, obviously, but I mean, you had DeAndre Hopkins. That was like 110.
He's still I think he's leading the NFL in quarterback rushing yards. So
yeah.
But I heard. I mean, you tell me. I didn't watch it, but I heard today when I was listening to some podcasts that he was holding onto the ball for a long time.
Yeah, the last play of the game. Like this was like the second best drive that. Lane Gabbert had was the last to go get the field goal. We drove down the field. We got a field goal position. We kicked it. So we were up three. They got the ball back with a minute 10 left or a minute left or whatever. And me personally, I'm just like, yep, he's just going to DeAndre Hopkins just freaking bomb whatever touchdown. They'll win the game. But
now, how many points were you up?
Just three.
Okay.
We just figured they were going to tie it, or they would probably somehow DeAndre Hopkins would get, because DeAndre Hopkins killed the Titans. He's been killing the Titans ever since he's been.
He kills everybody, really.
But I was thinking, I had mixed, but I felt good about their defense, how they're playing or whatever. It's like, we just got to, if it's tie or whatever, we'll go into overtime. I'll be all right with that. But he got down. He got past midfield, but they weren't in field goal position. But the last play, like, he just sat back in the pocket. Like, he wouldn't run to go out of bounds to just get some yards and get an extra play in. Like, he just sat there the whole time. And, like, he was just roaming in the backfield trying to see a pass open or whatever. And me, personally, he went across the line of scrimmage before he threw it. But he threw it. It was not even close. It was incomplete. But,
and that was a game.
Yeah, that was a game. But overall, I'm happy. It was a good team win.
Yeah.
The coaches did a really good job with, like, the play calling and whatever. I was happy with the coaches' decisions, but defense I was happy with. Offense, I want Mariota back, but.
Well, yeah. You definitely need him, or, I mean, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
But he makes the difference. So they're going up against Jacksonville this week. How do you feel about that? That's going to be tough.
Obviously,
but you guys have had success against them.
Yes. Last year we beat them two times, but that's not saying anything. But after seeing what Jacksonville did to the Patriots,
yeah,
got me kind of worried. Maybe their offense is clicking a little more, but yeah. Then again,
Blake Bortles looked good.
It's without Leonard Fournette.
Yeah. Yeah.
They did all that.
It's a divisional game, so I feel like we're going to have our guys ready. We know what they're going to do, what they want to do. And I'm not saying we're going to win, but I feel like it's going to be a closer game than what probably every NFL analyst will make it to be.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, Jacksonville's 2-0.
Yep.
Indianapolis 1-1.
Yeah.
Yep.
They beat Washington.
Titans 1-1.
Yep.
Texans, what are they?
0-2.
Okay. So, that's kind of surprising. I think everyone thought, well, the way Deshaun Watson played last year, that the Texans might be better this year.
Well, see, that's the thing.
I think everyone thinks Jacksonville is the team.
You had him last year in fantasy. Like, how many games did he play? Six? Five?
Played five.
Played five games, and he was ridiculous in every five of them.
Yeah. Like, so, like, that what I'm saying, like, that's why I didn't, and I'm not, no offense to you, David, because you drafted him. That's
way
why I didn't,
too early,
that's why
too.
I didn't touch
but
him.
The thing is, you talk to any, like, NFL, like, reporter or anything, everybody was freaking cloud nine on him, thinking that he was just going to go back to what he was doing.
That's the thing, like, the sample size is so small. Like,
yeah.
He had a five-game stretch, and granted, it was an insane five-game stretch, but he was on pace for, like, 64 touchdowns, which is not going to happen.
He's kind of doing what Pat Mahomes is doing right now.
Yeah, and if you think about it, like, for example, like, at the end of the season, last year, the last seven games of the season, like, fantasy-wise, Joe Flacco was the best quarterback in the NFL through seven games. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying Deshaun Watson's bad, but a five-game sample size.
Me, personally, I think it's that knee injury. It's still in his head.
It probably is.
And he's I mean, that's why he's not doing what he was doing. Like last year, like he didn't wait to run. Like he ran, and I think now he's just kind of second guessing himself. He don't want to get hurt again, and maybe that's affecting him. But I'm sure he's going to get it to his groove here shortly.
And that kind of segues us into the next bit of the surprises of just NFL talk, like Houston being 0-2. That's pretty surprising, I think, because
it depends on how much you hyped Watson.
I don't know. I didn't think their schedule was like they weren't playing like the top dogs in their first two games.
Yeah. And they had. I mean, everyone thought the Texans were going to be better, but the Dolphins are 2-0. I don't believe in the Dolphins at all.
Nope.
I think Tannehill is not that good. I don't know who they have. Kenyon Drake. Frank Gore, I believe, is their running back.
Well, yeah.
Who's like
it's 50. Kenyon Drake, but yeah, but Frank Gore. You know, where credit's due. Just this week, I think went fourth all time leading rusher.
Well, he's a Hall of Famer, right?
Right, but he's old and needs to be done. was really good.
The Bucks are 2-0 with Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's going to keep up, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, he'll never have a drop-off. The Denver Broncos with Case Keenum are 2-0.
Those were like two ugly wins. Or not ugly, but it was like hard fault.
Yeah.
Like it was to the last second.
They had to scrap at the very end of that.
Yes.
Oakland
game
to win.
They did.
And Kansas City's 2-0. I don't think that's surprising, but I think
it's a little bit because.
Patrick
Mahomes is doing. He threw six TDs last week.
Does anyone remember who they played in their first game?
No, I don't.
I forget.
But I know that, like, I don't think their first two games were very easy because they had to go into Pittsburgh, and to do that in Pittsburgh, that's kind of tough.
Yeah. But, like I said, they kind of dipped, and, like, Pittsburgh did come back and try to make it a game, but then they just kind of...
But I watched the tail end of that game, and Pat Mahomes has the most touchdowns for any quarterback in his first two games than any other quarterback in NFL history.
He is also on the list of... Was it the youngest quarterback to throw for six touchdowns in a game? And he's on the list with like Tom Brady, Drew Brees,
all the greats,
all the big Aaron Rodgers. He's with and Nick Foles is on that too.
Yeah, we'll see. See if he keeps up. They're home against Kansas City or not Kansas City. He's home against San Francisco. Yeah. So you got to think they'll beat San Francisco the way they've been playing. Might be 3-0. He might be putting up five more touchdowns. The other thing, obviously, that got talked about a lot, and there's some new news on it, Josh Gordon.
Flash.
Yeah. Browns fans love Josh Gordon, have always not defended him, but been excited. And if he was my favorite team, I'd want him to come back and play,
too. You were a flag waiver for Chris Henry and Vontaze Burfict, so I think if we had Flash, you probably would.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a bummer for all their fans. I don't know. Maybe Jordan has sources in New Orleans, but something happened when he was getting on the team bus, or I don't know. What have you guys heard?
I've heard several things. Like Philly, we were talking before we started here. Like
doing a promotional
shoot. Hurt his hamstring. I heard he was late for a flight. I also heard that he wasn't acting like himself. But the way Dorsey, like his statement, made it sound like you know, they've given him so many opportunities, and I feel like if he did, I'm sure they're not going to throw him under the bus if something was up with them. But just be like, listen, we've done this too long.
What's longer at this point, the Browns jersey with all the quarterback names or Josh Gordon's rap sheet?
The quarterback.
Quarterback list is longer?
Yeah. Quarterback.
I don't know I think it's something crazy, but all I know is that they had that stat during the New Orleans game that since Breeze has been the quarterback at New Orleans, they've had 21 different starting quarterbacks.
I just think, like, because they show that graphic all the time now with Josh Gordon, where they're like, this is all the trouble since 2012.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like two pages of just like, they cut him. They didn't cut him, but they suspended him. And I just don't know. They cut bait. Of course, they traded him to the Patriots.
Yeah.
And we can all just foresee him being like Randy Moss.
So, like, not only do the Browns screw Browns fans, but they also managed a way to screw the rest of us who enjoy the NFL.
Yes, especially in they traded him to the AFC. So now, if any of our teams make it to the playoffs, probably have to play Josh Gordon.
That'll be fun.
It's just whatever. It's sad to see him, someone who did so good for the Browns and probably could have risen them up to another level. Just couldn't quite get it together.
Well, all I gotta say is he looked. I mean, what year he had that?
2013. That's a long time ago. Oh, gosh.
Was it Anderson?
Whedon. And Jason Campbell.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, he had right. If he can get back to that, you know, play set. And
I mean, that goes with those two quarterbacks. Yeah, that says how talented he is.
But he had that good of a year with those two quarterbacks. Yes. And now he's getting stuck with the GOAT, Tom Brady.
What are the chances he was just playing the Browns? What are the chances he was just like, I want to get traded. I want to get cut.
I don't think he would do that.
I'm not going to show up.
I don't know. I mean, it's possible, but I can't imagine you doing that to a team who's giving you so many chances. Shots.
Partly crossed my mind, just thinking like, did he just like just do this so he could go to a different team?
But I mean, for a guy who's like one mistake away from being out of the NFL forever, I can't imagine him.
He doesn't have any cards left.
That's a hard gamble to make. If he did do it, then whatever.
But he won in the end.
Yeah. Now we'll come back. We still have let's do our draft 5.0 next after the break. Follow along at FR Practice Squad or give us a call 419-516-0702. Be thinking of your action heroes. We'll be right back.
Electric power, we take it for granted until it's gone. With the Generac Whole House Generator, you'll never skip a beat due to power outages. And now Reasoner Energy will double your power. Purchase an automatic standby generator and receive a free portable inverter generator. Great for camping, tailgating, or whenever or wherever you need power when there's no power to be found. A free $500 value for a limited time at Reasoner Energy. Generac, peace of mind at home and fun on the road. Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
Our story started 80 years ago with a series of handshakes and a belief in a hard day's work. Four generations later, those beliefs and morals still shape who we are. Our word is our bond, our commitment is unwavering, and our family is everything. At Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying, it's our culture. Join our family today and apply online at cooperfarms.com. Cooper Farms. More than work.
Hello, I'm Stacy from Brick Street Tavern. Stop in and see us on Friday and Saturday nights for our great dinner specials. You can get all-you-can-eat roasted chicken dinner for only $6.95, or you can try our 12-ounce New York strip steak dinner for only $12.95. And you can add a little zest and try your steak blackened. Both dinner specials come with jumbo baked potato and our large salad bar. We invite you to stop in at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery for our New York strip steak or all-you-can-eat chicken dinners on Friday and Saturday nights from 5 to 9 p.m.
Here are the sports broadcasts coming up this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tonight, the Lady Indians will host Salina and will simulcast WPGW's coverage of that match. Tomorrow, the new Knoxville Rangers will come to the Fortsite Fieldhouse in an MAC matchup and will again be simulcasting WPGW's coverage. Thursday, another huge MAC match as Coldwater comes to town, and that will also be a WPGW simulcast. Friday, it's football. Coldwater will come to Baron Brugge Field, and all fans are encouraged to be part of the whiteout for Shane Strong in cooperation with the Coldwater fans in support of injured Coldwater football player Shane Homan. Fort Recovery Radio's Wayne Street Market pregame show will start around 7:15. Three big volleyball matches and a big football game on the schedule this week, all at home. Tonight, the Salina Bulldogs. Tomorrow, New Knoxville. Thursday, Coldwater in a big volleyball match. And Friday, it's football hosting Coldwater with a whiteout supporting Shane Homan. Get out and support our Indians teams in these important games this week. But if you just can't get there in person to help cheer on our Indians teams, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
And we're back. Hey, we got the draft 5.0 tonight. Follow along, FR Practice Squad. Let us know your favorite action heroes. I'm sure we're going to miss a bunch of them because there's a million of them.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, there's some better than others, which we're gonna hit. But we're not doing actors.
No actors.
We are doing the character that they play.
Yep, and no superheroes.
And we are not doing superheroes. So we couldn't pick like Batman or Superman. So I'm going to go first because I have never gone first in this.
Wow.
I'm going to take the control, and I'm just going to be the first pick. So my first pick is Terminator. Terminator 1 and 2 and 3 and Terminator Genesis and Terminator what else?
Well, all I know is you're limited to Terminator 2, essentially. If you're
I'm just thinking,
hero.
What's his model number in Terminator 2?
T-1000?
T-1000.
Something like that.
I think it's a T-1000.
Yeah.
Well,
is the new
T-1000 the liquid guy?
Yeah, maybe he's a T-800.
I don't know. I'm taking the T... Well, someone can call in.
Not the Google Skynet for that.
But I'm taking him in Terminator 2 specifically.
Yeah, because he's the hero in that one.
Because he's so awesome. Just all the, opening doors with shotguns. He's got the sawed-off shotgun, riding a motorcycle. Doors locked.
Walking through walls.
Shotgun. Door flies open, going through. It's just, like, unbelievable. Like,
just busting through walls. Like, he barely walks and it's just like a bomb goes through.
That's a movie that still, to this day, if it's on...
You'll watch.
I watch it. My dad never liked action movies. Like, my dad would be one of those guys that would watch and be like, that's not real.
Like yeah. Of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger's not a robot.
Yeah, Terminator can't, walk through walls and all this. But he would watch Terminator 2 all the time when it was on. Like, it would be on, and we would just sit there and watch it.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, and the music's amazing. So, picking Arnold from Terminator 2. Garmin, you're up.
Okay, I am going to go with a layup, in my opinion. I'm going to go with James Bond.
Oh, yeah. I saw that earlier. I was looking up some, and it's just there's just too much content there. Just too many movies.
Skyfall is one of my all-time favorite movies. And Daniel Craig, I don't care. And you can at me. He's the best Bond. I don't care.
We can at you?
You can at me.
Because I thought you were not supposed to. Don't at me.
If anyone wants to. No, if people want to argue with me, I'll argue. Daniel Craig is hands down the best James Bond.
Daniel Craig. I do like Daniel Craig. I have a soft spot for
generation.
Pierce. I have a soft spot for Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, but almost all of Daniel Craig's movies are
I'm talking
good.
About yes. the older people might say.
Sean Connery, whatever.
Who's your top three Bonds?
I go, for me, it's, well, just because of our age, I go Craig, I go Brosnan.
You?
Daniel Craig.
Okay.
Craig, Brosnan, and then I would probably go Connery. I'm not a big Timothy Dalton fan.
Me neither, even though I've never seen any of his movies. Good choice. James Bond. That is a layup. And GoldenEye 007, still my top five N64 games. Philly, go ahead.
I am going to go with Bruce Willis on Die Hard, John McClane.
John McClane. I thought that's who David was going to pick, to be honest.
John McClane.
John McClane.
Always hungover.
Is it a Christmas movie?
Yes.
I always hear that. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
It's why not? My thing is like that. If
I think the cop's my favorite in Die Hard. The guy down
from Family Matters.
Yeah.
I like to personally believe that is like a side off from Family Matters. Like that's like an episode of Family Matters where he was helping
he had a
John
bad day at work.
Yeah.
They need to show the episode after where he gets home from work. And
you
like,
wouldn't believe the day I had.
Get off my back. I just had a horrible day at work. Where he hangs up his badge and his his holster and everything.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe the day I had at work today.
He punches Urkel in the face.
You've always been a disappointment to me. Your son's a jock and you're just a nerd. Back to Philly for pick two.
Oh.
Good pick, John McClane. That was a layup too.
I'm going to go with another layup. It's just going to be the Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
Great movies. I mean, a lot of people say that.
Which
won't.
One's your favorite?
The one was when he fought the Russian.
Is that four?
Three, I think.
Or three?
Four?
I think it's three.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I will break
Ivan Drago.
Yep, Ivan Drago.
He gets punched PSIs like a million or whatever. Computer, like the old computer that fills up a whole room, and all these scientists looking at it, like, look at the data we can collect on this boxer.
Yeah, and then cut to Sylvester Stallone like curling logs.
Yeah. What's better though? I mean, science training or logs? I mean, JJ Watt
running around mountains.
Yeah.
Exactly. JJ, he's a 2-time defensive player of the year,
and he hasn't had a sack in like 2 years.
Exactly.
You're up next.
There's one I want to pick, but I'm going to say maybe it'll slide back to me, but I'm going to go with another layup, in my opinion, Jason Bourne.
Oh, yeah.
If Jordan was here, he'd make fun of me, but he's not, so I can go ahead and do it because Jason
He's
Bourne.
Making fun of you at home, though, right now. I can see his face.
Okay. All the guys in any action movie, you find me someone who, in a movie, kills a guy with a magazine, a towel, and then beats another guy with a pen.
I can't.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good, I still remember the first time we watched those movies. We watched them all in a row.
Yeah.
And
a book.
The book. I was going to say the book I remember the most.
It was very aggressive because he puts it up to his face and he just punches him with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great. Yeah, that's a good pick. Good pick. I'm going to go with, and I can't think of the actor right now, and it's facing me. Who fights around the world in South Park?
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe.
Fighting
around the world. As Maximus in Gladiator.
Ooh, nice.
I don't know his full character, Maximus Aurelius. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But another movie I always watched with my dad, and that movie is just so awesome. The parts where he, like, I don't know, where he just destroys
stuff. Where he fights.
Yeah, the parts where he fights. Just awesome. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Maximus from Gladiator. And then we're going to go with Indiana Jones.
Nice.
Another favorite of mine when I was younger. Especially the first three movies. The Crystal Skull, the fourth one, sucked really bad. It's like, let's,
that doesn't count. It doesn't count. It's not part of it.
Why did they bring aliens into Indiana Jones? Something about those first three that are just such good movies.
One of my all-time favorite
movies. Still watch them all the time.
One of my all-time favorite movie scenes ever. I don't remember which one it is. When that guy's got, like, he's got his sword and he's doing all that stuff, and then Indiana Jones just shoots him.
Yep.
So great.
It's really good, like, comedic moment in the middle of that. Like,
it is.
He's like,
he's fighting like a ton of dudes, and this guy's like, whoosh, whoosh, boom, just shoots him dead.
Yeah, and he walks away all cool. Like, just such, Harrison Ford's so cool in that movie. Like, he just oozes coolness.
Had to be snakes.
Yeah. And he hates snakes. Just like a little quirk, stupid. What am I? Everyone knows Indiana Jones. So you're up.
Okay, I feel like I'm getting, like, all the guys I want. Like, I feel like this is, like, the best fantasy draft ever. John Wick.
He was my next pick.
Bobo Yaga.
John Wick.
This is one of those movies where, like, when the trailer came out, like, Keanu Reeves was kind of not a thing anymore. But when the trailer came out, I was like, I think this looks kind of good. And everyone's like, you're an idiot. And now look. It's like some of the best action movies out there right now. It's amazing.
Yeah. And have you seen all those memes that Big Cat does with, like, have you seen the scene from the new one where he's riding a horse and he's got a gun down there?
Yeah.
What is going to go on in that scene?
I don't know, but I'm excited.
He's riding a horse and he's shooting on a horse. He's shooting a guy on a motorcycle. How have they even with those two means of transportation?
Yeah.
The motorcycle should be, like, way ahead. But I assume the motorcycle's catching up. I don't know. But
all I know is that, like, those movies, like, created the term gun-fu. Like, he basically, like, fights people, like, with his gun before he shoots them. It's amazing.
It's a good pick. It's a good pick. Philly, we're going with you for your last two picks.
All right. My third one's going to be Blade, Wesley Snipes.
Oh, nice.
Superhero.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Oh. That's all right. I'll let it slide.
Yeah, we'll let it slide.
Well, I can. Oh, well, we'll go Vin Diesel on Guardians of the Superhero 2.
Groot.
Let's just go Dominic Toretto.
Dominic Toretto.
Family. Still doesn't know how to drink a beer.
No.
Yeah, I still don't.
Family and Corona.
Full grip on the top of the bottle. Full hand grip. Still I swear guessing. They were like, drink a beer, and that's how he did it. And they're like, well, we're not going to tell
him.
He
never drank before. Like, you tell Vin Diesel how to drink the beer.
You tell Vin. If you grab the whole bottle by your fist and you just try and drink, it's almost impossible, but he can do it.
He prefers Coronas anyway, so.
And family.
Then my last one's going to be Maverick, Top Gun.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a real good one. I don't have much to say about that, because I'll be honest. Never seen Top Gun.
You haven't?
Yeah. Is that a bad thing? Should
no, I?
No,
I think it's.
I mean, it's not.
I don't know if it's a hot take, but I think that movie's super overrated and I don't care.
So you don't like Philly's.
No, pick. I mean, like, Tom Cruise, he's like. He's good.
You don't like it, do you?
I mean, I would go with Ethan Hunt before Tom Cruise from Top Gun, from Mission Impossible.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
It's all right. You go with Goose.
All right, you go, Garm.
Okay, like I said, I'm getting all the guys I want here. So my last one, just because I love this movie, Dutch from Predator, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, man. I can't think of what the handshake in the beginning.
Yeah, they meet each other. It's a guy who plays Apollo Creed. What's his face?
Yeah, and I can't
Carl
think
Weathers.
Of it. Carl Weathers.
It's just the most, like, manliest man thing you'll ever see in your life. They, like, clap hands
and they zoom in on their
veins and muscles.
Steroids.
And they had to be steroids. All on roids for that movie.
Everyone in that movie.
He was the guy that got shot. He's like, you're bleeding. He's like, I ain't got time to bleed.
He was a governor.
Yeah.
Wasn't
he?
Ventura.
Jesse
Ventura.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're bleeding. ain't got time. Greatest quote in movie history.
Me with the last pick. I'm going to go with Leonidas.
I actually had him on my list.
From 300.
Great. That's an awesome pick.
Yeah. I'm really happy with my team. Way better than my current fantasy team. If we had action heroes, I think mine might take it, but...
No.
You're right. Yours probably will.
Classics.
But yeah, Leonidas just so... really, Gerard Butler's only cool role. Am I wrong in that? Besides, like, White House Down or something?
Oh, yeah. Whatever his character is in that, he's pretty hardcore.
Is that White House Down?
It's Olympus. Olympus.
One of those two White House movies. We got a caller.
It's Olympus ones. Olympus is
fallen. Who we got?
Is it Kevin from Cincinnati?
Oh, hey, Kevin.
How we doing?
Real good. First time, long time, I imagine.
First time, long time, for sure. But yeah, you guys are incredibly wrong on these picks.
How are we incredibly wrong?
Where's Luke Skywalker? The guy saved the galaxy, people. He brought down the evil empire.
True, true. I mean, he's not bad, but he's just kind of like...
I'm going to argue that because
he didn't have a six-pack.
In my opinion, Luke Skywalker does nothing in that movie. Darth Vader is the one that saves the empire.
Really? How?
He kills the emperor.
Oh, yeah.
Luke Skywalker's like, I'm not going to fight. Darth Vader's like, I got to do it.
He only does it because Luke sees the humanity in Vader.
Oh, nice.
Hence, he is the ultimate reason that the galaxy is saved. An entire galaxy, people. He saved an entire galaxy.
He did. Yeah, you're right. Indiana Jones was really good about cave diving and saving cool stuff.
What about Ellen Ripley? Did you see that alien mother that she took down in the second movie?
That's good. Actually, we probably should have, because this was a very man-centric draft.
Yeah, we're sexist on our action heroes, Kevin.
Definitely.
We're not politically correct around here. You in Cincinnati with your morals.
I've got another curveball for you.
Okay.
What about Gandalf? Gandalf the Grey. He's not magical powers.
Not Gandalf the White.
Well, first he starts as the Grey, then he becomes the White. Well, he's two characters.
Gandalf the Grey was the one that defeated the Balrog.
Yeah, that's true. Flame of old.
You guys are talking about Maximus over here with his little fighting ring, and we've got Gandalf with a staff. We got Luke Skywalker with a lightsaber. I mean, come on, guys. Game.
You're right. I'm sorry. I'm completely lost all confidence. I'm leaking confidence right now. And I guess we stand corrected.
At the end of the day, big fan. Big fan.
All right.
Big fan over here.
We appreciate it.
You guys are broadcasting far and wide. Big fan over here.
Well, we hope you continue to listen, and we appreciate your input, Kevin from Cincinnati.
I'll be looking forward to next week when I can once again correct you guys on all your
nonsense. That'll be perfect. You call in again. Hey, let us know.
You have a good night.
You as well, boys.
All right.
See ya.
Later. Oh, man. The hotlines are full tonight.
Blowing up.
I know. Follow along, FR Practice Squad. Give us your best action heroes. Correct us like Kevin did. Call us idiots. Call us dumb. And let us know... who the real action heroes are. But I think our teams were pretty good.
Oh, I'm very confident my team would be the winner here.
Well, we'll be right back. We have one more thing. We just have our little parlay pick 'em. Mm-hmm. Didn't do well last week. We were 1-2 last week.
You guys.
I'll take my full responsibility for that. But we'll be right back with our picks.
Klingtron & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingtronandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingtron & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
What's for Lunch? Wayne Street Market in downtown Fort Recovery is introducing to you Wayne Cafe. It's a new hot spot for lunch. Stop in or follow us on Facebook to see what's on the menu each day. We will always have our fried chicken, our hot soup bar, and our fresh salad bar, but we are bringing a whole new level to your lunch hour starting in March. We also will have in-house seating available so you don't have to rush around during your break. As always, thanks for choosing Wayne Street Market, downtown Fort Recovery, as your lunch destination.
Boers Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boers, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boers Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boers Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Recovery Boys basketball team is sponsoring a night at the races on Saturday, November 24th at the Legion. It's $20 to get into the event, and it'll be a fun-filled night with 12 horse races throughout the evening. Doors open at 6, with the first race at 7. There'll be food and drinks available, you can bet on the races, and you can actually own a horse for only $20, and you get to name your horse, or buy several horses. You can get the forms for buying a horse from any of the boys' high school players, or from Kate Judy, Teresa Leonards, or Gail Judy. Be sure to return your purchase forms in plenty of time before the horses are all sold. So come up with some clever horse names and buy your horses now before they're all gone. Name them after your kids. Name them after your favorite vacation place. Give them names with clever puns. Just keep it clean. Make your plans now to join the party. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it'll help out our boys' basketball team. The night at the races, Saturday evening, November 24th at the Legion.
We're back. Continue to follow along at FR Practice Squad or call in at 419-516-0702 as DJ Fresh Kid continues to drop the beat on us. So last week we started a thing where we're each going to do a pick each week and we're going to parlay it. And hopefully we win some money. It didn't go well last week. We had the Bengals as underdogs. We got that one right. And then I proclaimed that Washington would cover 6.5. They got beat by like 2 touchdowns.
Yep.
And then I said that the Giants would beat the Cowboys, and they got killed. So we're 1-2 to start out on our picks. Not a good start. And I really hope you guys didn't listen to us last week. But this week,
this is it.
We're going to get it right. So I'll go first. The game I liked. And we're going to have to get some like action music for this, like in our future shows, like some like high paced music or, you know what I'm visualize what I'm thinking. But the first game I'm going to go with, we've been talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick all night.
Mm-hmm.
How great he is. Obviously Pat from Cincinnati thinks he's the best quarterback of all time.
Back up.
I think he thinks all time. I legitimately do. When Carson Palmer was on the Bengals, he was like Ryan Fitzpatrick Fitzpatrick can move around the pocket like he can play. And I was like, shut up, Pat from Cincinnati.
Did you know he went to Harvard?
Did you? Yeah, he's really good at math. He can figure out the zones. So they're at home and they are 2.5 point underdogs against Pittsburgh. But I'm not taking Tampa Bay. I'm taking Pittsburgh.
Ooh.
-2.5. I think Pittsburgh is desperate. They're 0-1-1. They need a win, even though, did you see Antonio Brown tweeted today that you should trade me?
No, but he quote tweeted a guy who was basically saying that you were nothing without Ben Roethlisberger. You couldn't get those numbers without Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
So that's why he was like, trade me, I'll go anywhere and I'll be good.
Is this our hot gambling music?
I like it.
Yeah. Gamble with this in a 90s video game. Not that. So I'm going to go with Pittsburgh -2.5 for my pick. Garmin.
You know that like that game's going to end with Tampa Bay like kicking a field goal.
To win at 3. Yeah. But I like Pittsburgh as the favorite on the road.
And I also like you making that pick because we'll be in studio while that game's being played.
Yes, we will. And it will probably make the difference if we win or lose. But there's just, I don't see Fitzpatrick keeping it up. I see a desperate Pittsburgh team that needs a win.
They have to. Like, I know it's really early to say that, but
Fitzy is chucking the ball. He's trying to win that starting position. See you, Jameis.
They're going
to
be in trouble if they lose.
I know. So that's why I think they're going to win -2.5. That's my pick. Garmin.
Okay, I got New England, Detroit. New England is -6.5, and I am taking New England all day.
Okay.
Because people, you can make the argument, they're like, well, Matt Patricia, he was a defensive coordinator for New England.
Oh, he's going to know their team.
He knows what Bill Belichick likes to do. But you know what Bill Belichick likes to do? Well, after a loss, he's going to bury the next team he plays.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're going to win that game by more than 2 touchdowns.
The only thing Detroit's desperate. 0-2. They need a win, and they're at home.
And they ain't going to get it.
Okay. I agree.
Because it's going to be one of those games where people are like, Bill Belichick's like just a jerk. Like, they're going to be up in like 30, and he's going to be like, Brady's going to be in the shotgun. They're going to throw Flash in there for no reason.
That is the Sunday
Brady
night.
Brady tears his ACL, yeah. And he's done.
That's the Sunday night game.
Yeah, that's a gimme in my opinion.
Okay, so far we got Pittsburgh -2.5, New England -6.5, Philly.
I'm going to ride the hot train. I'm going Kansas City against San Francisco at Kansas City. They're at home, -6.5. I feel like San Francisco's defense cannot stop that offense. So 6.5, I'm saying I'm taking that. They'll win by more than a touchdown, I'd say. But, yeah, they'll win by more than 6.5.
So we like all favorites this week. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel this week. But we think Kansas City -6.5 at home, New England -6.5 on the road, and Pittsburgh -2.5 on the road. So we're going to wrap those up in a 3-team parlay. When Jordan gets back next week, we're going to make it
a
4-team parlay. But we're going to keep it a 3-team parlay this week, and we'll see what happens.
Any chance you're going to take the action with the Minnesota Buffalo spread?
The 16 points. Yeah. It's actually, I checked on Bovada, it's 17 on there.
Very possibly, they'll probably will cover that.
Buffalo could have a gut check defense game where they only lose by 14. You know what I mean? Like, they don't lose by 50 like they've been losing. I don't know. I hate those big point spread games, like especially the college games.
I feel like traps.
Like when you try and bet on the Buckeyes the first 2 weeks,
it was like 36
and they're 34.5 point favorites. And you're
they covered both.
They cover 34 points, and then they're up 35 and by halftime.
Yeah.
So I don't know why I always don't hammer those, but I never do.
But you gotta feel college is one thing.
College is different.
Like, your NFL. This is, these are professionals, so yeah. It's kind of hard to bet on it. But
well, so follow along. Kansas City -6.5, New England -6.5, and Pittsburgh. -6.5. So hopefully we have some better luck next week.
-2.5.
Yeah, so that'll do it for our show tonight. I'm David Schmidt. For Craig Garmin, Philly Metzger, have a great week, everybody. Talk to you later.